We're holding on your Gimel Amud Beis, the fifth to last line of the narrowest lines, the line begins Bereshit. We were talking about yesterday the Maisa Merkava, which is described in Yechezkel. Now, Yeshaya, in his first Nevuah, also describes the same kind of thing, but much more briefly. We read both of them as Atoras, by the way. The one of Yechezkel, we read as the Atorah, the first day Shavuos. And the one of Yeshaya, we read as the Atorah of Yisrael, because both of them have to do with Matan Torah. Because by Matan Torah, the course was revealed, and then at Kav Yochel, they saw Hashem with all of his retinue of Malachim and the Chayez HaKodesh and so forth, and therefore we have Haftorahs that reflect that theme. But the description that Yeshaya gives is much briefer than the description that Yechezkel gives. Yechezkel gives a whole parak on it. Yeshaya, it's a couple of psukim. So Omar Rabba, Kol Shadro Yechezkel Ro Yeshaya. Actually, they both saw the same thing. Everything that Yechezkel saw, Yeshaya had seen as well. Lama Yechezkel Doima. So what is Yechezkel like, this that he's describing it at such great length? Leben Kfar Shadro Esamela. He's like a villager who sees, he's like a villager who sees the king. So a villager is not used to seeing the king all the time. He's very surprised by it. So he has to go at great length and describe every detail. Where Yeshaya is like a person who lives in the city who gets to see the king all the time. So therefore, to him, okay, you know, I saw the king. He can just mention it briefly. And it's not as exciting, kind of, because he sees it all the time. That's according to Rashi. Tosfos explains differently that it means a ben kfar, a villager who sees the king, has to describe to other people in great detail for them to believe him, because it's not the place where the king usually is. The king isn't in the village, so he has to describe every detail so that people can say, "Oh, yeah, the one that you saw was in fact the king." So that's Yechezkel was saying at the time of the Golos, he was in Babel. It was only a few years before the Churban Bayis Rishon. So therefore, he's like a villager. He has to describe at great length so anybody should believe that what he really saw was the king. As opposed to Yeshaya is in the city, in other words, in Hashem's place in Yerushalayim, in the Beis Mikdash, and therefore he just can say briefly, "I saw the king," and everybody understands that. Yeah, the one you saw is the king. Marshall has another explanation on it. Yeshaya was actually from a royal family. His father, Amitz, was a brother of Amatziah, one of the kings of Yehuda. So Yeshaya is actually closely related to the royal family. So he sees the human royal family, Malchus Beis David, all the time. So therefore, seeing the king's majesty doesn't doesn't have to describe it at great length. The same way as if he saw the human king all the time, he wouldn't have to describe him at great length. Whereas Yechezkel is from a family of Kohanim who are not really close to the kings and to the government, and therefore he has to describe at great length. Basically, in other words, the idea, according to all of that, is that in Yeshaya's times, Elikos was much more revealed in the world, and therefore he didn't need to describe it at great length. There's a sicha where the Rebbe once talked about the idea that nevertheless, so we're saying on the face of it, all of these things amount to saying that the Ben Kfar is on a lower level than the Ben Ir, meaning that we'd say that Yechezkel is on a lower level than Yeshaya, although there are some of them, of course, who say it means the people of Yechezkel's times were lower. There is actually a sicha, though, where the Rebbe talks about the fact is we're saying that the villager is going to be excited and describe it at great length. So that excitement itself, in a way, is greater than the calm way that Yeshaya describes it. The fact that the person is excited, that Yechezkel is excited to describe it and describes it at great length, that itself is a tremendous milah. But they both saw the same Merkava, and then they're both describing it each in their own way. Omer Shlokish, my dichtiv or shiro l'Hashem ki go'oi go'o. What does it mean in Shira Sayyam? I will sing to Hashem because go'oi go'o, which means proud, he is proud, or great, he is great. Why the double expression? It means shira, we have to sing a song, l'mishim is go'e ala ge'im, to Hashem who is higher, who is above those who themselves are above others. So that's great. The greatest of the Nivroim, Hashem is greater still over them. The Omamar, because we say in a Braisa, Melech Shabachayas Ari, the king of all the wild animals is the lion. Melech Shabahamas Shur, the king of all the domestic animals is the ox. Melech Shabaopis Nesher, the king of all the birds is the eagle. But Adam Misgaalim, a person is greater and higher than all of them because he dominates them and he uses them for his purposes. He hunts them, etc., etc. V'akadosh Baruch Hu Misgaal Kolon ve'al Kol Olam Kolay, and Hashem is higher than all of them and the whole world because the Chayas Hakodesh, those are the four faces of the Chayas Hakodesh. They have those four faces: the face of a human, of an ox, of a lion, and of an eagle. So therefore, by that Hashem demonstrates that he is greater than all that than everything else in the world. Next, let's look at the details of what he says about the Chayas Hakodesh. Kosev Echad Omer, one pasuk in Perek Aleph of Yechezkel, which is the main place that he talks about the Merkava. He says, "With Mus Pnei and Pnei Adam, the image of their face was a human face. Of Pnei Ariel a Yomin La'abatam, and then they had a face of a lion to the right side. Of Pnei Shomas Smo La'abatam, and then they had a face of an ox on the left side for each of the four of them." By the way, the Mefoshim explain, and then that it's actually brought in Midrashim that are early Sifrei Kabbalah and whatever, that actually what it is each face has multiple faces to it. So in other words, on each side of the Malach, you have, for example, the human face, and then to the left and right and back of it, there are the other three faces, and the same thing on each of the other sides, and you have this repeated over and over again, so that each one of them winds up having 256 faces, 4 times 4 times 4 times 4. Anyway, but within each group there you have, so the face in front is a human face, to the right is a lion's face, to the left is an ox's face, and then behind is the eagle's face. So, Uchtiv, then later on in Perek Yud of Yechezkel, where again he describes the Merkava and describes it a little bit differently, he says, V'abba fonim la'echad, he says, I saw each one had four faces, Pnei ha'echad, Pnei ha'kruv. One of the faces was the face of a kruv, which we're going to talk about shortly what that is. Ufnei hasheni pnei adam, the face of the second one is the face of a human being. Vashlishi pnei aryeh v'arivyeh pnei nasher. The third is the face of a lion. The fourth, the face of an eagle. V'yilushor le'kachoshim. What happened to the face of the ox? The answer is Amar Shlokish, Yechezkel bikish olav rachmim v'hofche le'kruv. When Yechezkel saw the Merkava the first time, and he saw that there was a face of an ox over there, then he asked Hashem for Rachmanus and changed it into the face of a kruv. Omelofonov, he says, Rebbeinu Shlom, Kategor Yosef Seneger, is it right that the accuser should become the defender? The ox is going to bring to mind the Chetegel. We need, Rashi says, the Merkava, the Chayas HaKodesh of the Merkava, we need them to be begging for Rachmim for us, and the ox is a Kategor, as it reminds of the Chetegel. So therefore, he asked Hashem to turn it into a kruv. Marshall explains, in other words, like this. We have, in Shemayim, there are defenders and there are prosecutors. The defenders usually are associated with the right, which is chesed. The accusers, the kateger, are associated with the left, which is gvura. So now, like this, in the original description, we have the face of the lion is on the right side. That represents the defenders of the Jewish people. Then the face of the ox is on the left, representing the prosecutors. And Yechezkel is asking, let the left side be turned into chesed as well. Let it be turned into something that will defend the Jewish people rather than accuse them of avedus. And Hashem listened to him, and sure enough, it became a kruv. So the Gemara says, my kruv. So what exactly is the face of a kruv? And Bechlal, we have in many places, we have the kruvim on the Oren Kodesh and in other places. So what is a kruv? Om Rav Abahu, kir ravya. It means that they had the face like a child. She came to Babel, currently in Nukaravia. In Babel, the dialect of Aramaic that they spoke in Babel, the word for a boy, for a child, is Ravia. So therefore, Kir Ruv is Kir Ravia, like a Ravia, like the face of a child. Amalina Papa La Baya, Elamayata, so the Papa says in that case, then what's going on? Let's look at those four faces again. Then we have the face of a kruv, then the face of a human being, then a lion, then an eagle. Then in that case, you have two of the same face because a kruv, a child, is a human being. And the answer is, it means that there was a face of an adult and a face of a child. Now, what's the significance of that? Maushar explains that actually those represent respectively Avraham and Yitzchak. Avraham is the face of the adult because he was older. Yitzchak is the small face because he was younger, and therefore so those two are represented over there in the Chayis HaKodesh. And then Yaakov is also there because the Medrash says that his face is on the Kisei HaKavod. So that way you have all three of the Avos over there. There are places in Chassidus, there's a maimer, for example, there's a maimer of the Alter Rebbe in Parshas Truma, for example, where in Torah Ur, where it talks about the Apri Rabri, the Apri Zutri, represents the two aspects of the Torah as it is Lamaila, and the Torah as it's compressed into words and into Gashmiistic objects and so forth, and brought down here into the world. So both of those are represented in the Chayis HaKodesh. It may also be, I haven't seen this any place, but I haven't looked more thoroughly, but maybe the idea is, in many places in Chassidus, it talks about, based on the Zohar, the idea being that the Pnei Shur on the Merkava is sustained by the Korbanos, by the Korbanos of animals that are brought. So since Yechezkel is talking about shortly before the Beis Hamikdash is going to be destroyed, and there's not going to be any Korbanos, then at that point there can't be a Pnei Shur anymore, then therefore he asks that it be turned into a Pnei Kruv, because anyway it's not going to be getting the sustenance from the Korbanos. So maybe the idea is when the Beis Hamikdash is standing, then it's Pnei Shur, and when not, then it's Pnei Kruv, but like I say, I haven't found anything explicit about that. All right. Another difference that we find between now here's a difference that we find between Yeshaya's and Yechezkel's description. In Yeshaya's description, he describes the Malachim have six wings each. Whereas in Yechezkel, he described, it says each one had four faces. It says, and each one of them had four wings. So what is it? Six or four? Now, of course, the obvious answer would be, Tosfos says, okay, you know, the two different kinds of malachim. Yeshaya is describing the Srafim. Yechezkel is describing the Chayas, different kinds of malachim. They can have different numbers of wings. However, Tosfos says it's more logical to assume that both types of malachim have the same number of wings. Tosfos in Chulin, that's referred to on the side over there, that goes into that in greater detail, that says that, we can assume as much as possible that the descriptions of the two types of malachim should be identical, and therefore they should both have the same numbers of wings. So what's going on? So the answer is, loikasha, kan bizmancha besimikdash kayim, kan bizmancha ein besimikdash kayim. One is talking about when the besimikdash is standing, then they each have six wings. So that was Yeshaya lived in the middle of the time of the first besimikdash. Therefore, he sees them with six wings. Whereas the other one is when the Mishnah is not standing. In Yechezkel's times already, when Yechezkel sees this first Nevuah, is only a few years before the Churban. So to speak, the number of wings of the Chayas were reduced as a result of the Churban. So the Gemara says, Hey Minayu Imut. Well, of the six wings, which ones were the ones that were reduced? In Yeshaya's description, when he describes the Malachim with the six wings, he says, "B'shtayim yichasafonav." Two of them they used to cover their face, or "B'shtayim yichasaraglav." Two of them they used to cover their feet, or "B'shtayim yoifif." And with two of them they fly, and the yoifif are also the ones that those ones that they fly are the ones that they flap them and make a sound, and that's the sound of the shira that they sing to Hashem. So, which ones were removed at the time of the Churban? Amar Chanano, Amar Rav, Oisin Shomis Shira Behem. The middle set, the ones that they say shira with. And then we know that Sivacho v'shtayim yoifif v'korazel zevi Amar. The one pasuk in Yeshaya says that with two of them they fly. and they call one to another and they say Kaddish, Kaddish, Kaddish. So in other words, what they do is they flap their wings and make a noise with them, and then that's the Shira. That's how they express the Kaddish, Kaddish, Kaddish that they say to Hashem. Uchtiv ha uchtiv, and you have another pasuk. Hasoif einechaboy ve'einanu. Can you soif your eyes at them and it disappears? The context is the pasuk is talking about. It's talking about the chokhmah of Torah. Soif means like to fold over. You fold your eyes, you close your eyes, and the Torah disappears because, in other words, you have to constantly be reviewing it rather than closing your eyes to it and ignoring it. But the word hasoif is also related to the word yo'ofif. So therefore, it's saying that ve'inenu, there comes a point when it's disappeared. So therefore, so that set of wings disappeared. V'rabbanan amri. Now, there's an interesting vote from the Vilna Gaon related to that. He says the six wings, he brings from earlier sources, I think from the Zohar or whatever, that the six wings correspond to the six words of Baruch Shem Kavod Malchus Elohim Avod. So if we're saying that the middle two wings are missing, that means the ones that correspond to Kavod and Malchusai are missing. All we have is Baruch Shem and La'olam Vod. And he says, this is what we mean when we say in Musaf of Yom Tov, when we say, Galay Kvod Malchuscha Aleinu Mehera, reveal the glory of your kingship on us very quickly. It means we're asking Hashem, restore, rebuild the Beis Mikdash. Then the Chayas will have back the two wings that say on them, Kvod Malchuscha. So please do that very quickly. Ben Yehoyada also adds to it. This is we say in Ashrei Kvod Malchuscha Yemeru Gvurascha Yedaberu. We're saying right now we're not able to say Kvod Malchuscha, but Yemeru we will say it when Gvurascha Yedaberu, when we're able to speak of Hashem's power in taking the Jewish people out of Golos and rebuilding the Beis Mikdash. So that's one opinion. Getting back to the Gemara, the Rabbanan Amri Oisin Shemachasas Behen Ragleihem. The Chachamim, the Rabbanan say that the wings that are missing are the ones they cover their feet with. Shenema, because in Yechezkel's description, he says Ragleihem Rego Yeshara. He sees that their feet are straight feet. By the way, which is why we put our feet together by Shemana Esrei in order to be a little bit like a Malach. Now, so the Ilav de Imut, if those wings had not disappeared, Minahabayada, how could he know? The Pasuk in Yeshaya says that they cover their feet with their wings. So then Yechezkel should have seen their feet covered and he doesn't know what they're shaped like. If he sees their feet, it means they're uncovered, means those wings are missing. So Gemara says, so what? How does that prove anything? Duma de Iglai v'chadule, maybe they were uncovered for a little bit and he saw it. The Eloi Temahok. After all, if you're not going to say that, he sees their faces as well. And he describes the Mus Pneam Pnei of them. He says the image of their face is like the image of a person's face. Hochinami the Imut. Does that mean that those wings, the ones that they cover their faces with, are missing? No, nobody said that. Elodig live Vachazule. It means sometimes they uncover their faces and then he's able to see them. Hochinami dig live Vachazule. The same way you could say about the feet, that sometimes they're uncovered and then he's able to see them. Someone says, Hochi Hashta. What kind of a comparison is that? There's a big difference. Bishlema Ape, I can understand his face. Orach Ara Lagaluya Kamirabe, it's derech eretik to uncover your face in front of your master. So therefore, even though they're standing in front of their master, Hashem, they can sometimes be uncovering their face. That's not a sign of disrespect. Kare, but when it comes to your feet, lav orach ara lagaluya kamirabe, it's not derech eretik to uncover them in front of your master, in front of Hashem. So therefore, if Yechezkel is seeing their feet, it has to mean they don't have anything to cover them with anymore because that set of two wings is gone. Now, why should it be gone? What's the significance of that? Ma'ashar explains that the feet of the Malachim, the feet of the Chayes HaKodesh, Yechezkel describes over there, are kaf regal egel. They look like the foot of a calf. Again, a calf is reminiscent of the Chetah Egel. So usually they would want to keep them covered in order not to bring up the Chetah Egel. But at the time of the Churban, then it was finally time to pay off for what was left of the Chetah Egel, for the remaining punishment of it. So therefore they were Davka uncovered at that point in order that then that Kitrug can take place. So Hashem Davka removed those wings so that now he sees the regal eagle and once and for all he punishes the Yidden for what's left over of the Chet eagle at the time of the Churban. Okay, the Gemara continues. let's talk about the number of malachim that there are. Kosev echad omer elef alfin yisham shune. You have a pasuk in Daniel where Daniel sees Hashem sitting on a throne to judge the nations. We'll talk about those psukim soon. And one pasuk says elef alfin yisham shune, 1,000 times 1,000, so 1,000,000 malachim serve Hashem. The riboy rivavon kadamoy yikumon, and 10,000 times 10,000 are standing before him, which would be 100,000,000. So we're saying that there's a very large number of malachim, but it's still a finite number. The cost of Achadema, Yesh Mispa. Then another pasuk says, is there any number to Hashem's legions? So what is it? Is there a finite number of malachim, or is there an infinite number? And the answer is, like Kasha, again, there's no contradiction. Kan bizman she beis mikdash kayim, kan bizman she ein beis mikdash kayim. Depends whether the beis mikdash is standing or not. Daniel is talking about during the period after Daniel sees his visions after during the time of Golos Babel, after the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed. So therefore he sees only a finite number, whereas the Hayesh Mispar L'Gdudav is talking about the Pasuk in Iyov, so that's talking about when the Beis Hamikdash is standing. So again, Kav Yochol Shenismata Pamal Yeshamayla. Not only did we say before that the number of wings in the Chayes HaKodesh is reduced at the time of the Churban, but also Kav Yochol, the whole retinue of Hashem, all the Malachim, is reduced at the time of the Churban. There's an interesting thing that the Yaris Dvash, that Rabbi Yonasan Eibeshit says on that. The Gemara is going to say soon that Hashem creates Malachim with his speech. Hashem speaks and Malachim are created. Well, there's a medrash in Eicha Rabba, in Medrash Rabba on Eicha, that says that when the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, so Hashem asks the Malachim, Kaviyachol, what does a human king do when he's in Tsar, when he's in Avelos, and they tell him all kinds of different things, and Hashem follows suit. So one of them is they tell him he's quiet, he doesn't say anything, like we learned in Moed Katan, that an oval doesn't speak a lot. So therefore, Hashem also, Kaviyachol, reduced the amount of speaking that he does, and therefore there were fewer Malachim. Anyway, we're meant to understand with all of this, of course, that the Churban was not just a disaster here on earth, but also what an effect it had in Shemayim as well, what an effect it has even on the highest levels of the Olamos, and to realize, therefore, that this is intolerable and we need to change that. We need to work all the harder to bring Mashiach and to bring the Beis Hamikdash to be rebuilt and all of this to be put back the way it's supposed to be. Onward, the Gemara continues. Tanya, Rebbe Omer Mishum Abba Yosef Ben Desoi. It means there's another way of reconciling those psukim. Not that one's when the Beis Hamikdash is standing and one not, but Elef Alpin Yisham Shune means Mispa Gdud Echad, means the number of Malachim in each troop is, as we said, 1,000,000 who serve Hashem and then another 100,000,000 who stand there. That's Mispa Gdud Echad. That's the number that are in one troop of Malachim. The Gdud of Mispa, the actual number of troops, is infinite. So therefore, both psukim work. Rabbi Yumi Ba'aba says another explanation. Elef alpani sham shune l'nahar dinur. When we talk about the 1,000,000 malachim, that pasuk is talking about in connection with nahar dinur, the river of fire that is in front of Hashem, which we're going to explain more about in a second. So the 1,000,000 malachim that Daniel is describing, they serve by the Nahar Dinur. And then meanwhile, there's an infinite number of Malachim that serve Hashem in other areas. Shenemar, as the pasuk continues in Daniel, Nahar Dinur, a river of fire, Nogid V'Nofik Min Kadamah, extends forth, flows forth, and then goes out from before Hashem. Elef Alpin Yisham Shunei, and then the pasuk continues, a 1,000,000 Malachim serve him. So Yisham Shunei then can mean serve it. In other words, they deal with Nahar Dinur and what it's supposed to accomplish. The river, Rivan Kadamoy Hi Yukon, and 100,000,000 Malachim stand in front of it. So in other words, we explained before that Yisham Shunei and Kadamoy Hi refer to Hashem. Now we're saying they refer to Nahar Dinur. So you have these 1,000,000 or 100,000,000 Malachim that are responsible for and serve Hashem involving Nahar Dinur, and then you have an infinite number of Malachim that serve Hashem in other roles. So the Gemara says, okay, this Nahar Dinur, this river of fire, Mehechan Nafik, from where does it come from? We're saying that it comes forth from before Hashem. What's its source? And the answer is Mezei Osan Shal Chayas. It comes from the sweat of the Chayas. So, so to speak, there was the idea that the Chayis HaKodesh are carrying Hashem's throne, and in doing so, they sweat. Like the way a person would sweat when they're carrying a heavy burden. So that sweat forms the Nahar Dinur, and as the Gemara is going to say in a second, it's used to punish the Rishoyim. There's a lot of different explanations about that. Rabbi Yaakov Emden explains, in other words, that the sweat represents that the Chayis HaKodesh are bothered by the Averis that people do, and it causes them to sweat, like you perspire when something is bothering you. And then that in turn becomes a river of fire that punishes the Rishoyim, in the sense that the Rishoyim's own Averis bring about their punishment. Punishment itself is created by their Averis. In several places in Chassidus, it talks about the idea of this Zeos and Shochayas and associates it with the concept of Gvura and of Dinim. There's places where it talks about that it represents Dinim Koshim, harsh judgments, which of course fits with what we just said, that it has to do with the Rishoyim. So it comes from that. And then there's another idea that's brought in various places in Chassidus that more generally it's associated with Pachad. When a person is fearful, when a person is afraid, he sweats, he perspires. So therefore, the Malachim, even these high-level malachim, of course, you know, even the highest-level malach is infinitely distant from Hashem himself, from Atmos and Mahus. So therefore, they have a pachad, they have a tremendous sense of yira for Hashem, and that makes them sweat, and then that sweat forms this Nahar Dinur. So that explains where it comes from, where does it pour out to. It pours down on the heads of the Rishoyim in Gehenna. So especially, again, according to what Rabbi Yaakov Emden is saying, that it's caused by their Averis, well, then it's only, then in that case, that's where it ends up, is pouring on their heads to punish them for those very same Averis. Again, like it says also in Chassidus, it's dinim koshim, it's harsh judgments, so therefore it goes on them. Shenemar, as the Pasuk says, Hine saras Hashem chema yotza. Behold, the storm of Hashem is coming out as fury. The saram is cholol, and the storm is going to be formed. Al roish rishoyim yochol. It's going to land on the head of the rishoyim. So, understanding that the saras Hashem is this very same nahar dinur, and therefore it lands and flows onto the heads of the rishoyim. Rav Acha by Yaakov says a different explanation, that it doesn't, it falls on Al Asher Kumtu. It follows on the neshamas that were removed. Namely, as the Gemara is going to say in a second, like this. Hashem's original plan was that there are going to be, before Matan Torah, there were going to be 1,000 generations. We say every day in Hodu, Dovert Siva La'elef Dur, that Hashem intended that the word that he commanded in the Torah is going to be given after 1,000 generations. Now, Hashem saw that the people are not acting the way we should. We can't let the world go 1,000 years without the Torah. Who knows what the world's going to be at that point? So therefore, Hashem removed, kumtu means removed, and took out of the way 974 of those generations and did not create them. So 1,000 minus 26 equals 974. So those generations were removed from the picture. And now we're saying, therefore, so Rashi explains that those 974 generations were placed in Gehenna. Tosfos actually argues and says, I mean, what did they do wrong? They weren't even created. How is it fair that Hashem should put them in Gehenna? So Tosfos explains, okay, they're not in Gehenna. They're just as the Gemara is going to say soon, they're gradually scattered throughout all the generations. But meanwhile, you have this Nahar Dinur is pouring down on them. There are places in Chassidus where it talks about that in particular, these 974 generations worth of neshamas are the neshamas b'toyhu. We know we talk about in any number of places in Torah Chassidus about olam ha-toyhu and olam ha-tikun. So these neshamas are the neshamas of toyhu. So they weren't created in our world because they'd be too intense for our world. As the Pasuk says, shenemar, asher kumtu v'loy es, they were kumtu, they were removed, they were taken out of the picture. Veloy ace, or actually Rashi says kumtu, means there was a gzera that they should be created. Rashi explains that the word kumtu is related to a word for gzera. So Hashem decreed that they be created, but then they weren't created in our physical world. Vasher Kumtu, they were commanded to be created, Veloy Ace, but not in a time, because they didn't end up being created in our world in their time. Nahar Yutzach Yisoidam, a river that's poured out, is their foundation. So in other words, we're saying Nahar Dinur is pouring down onto them. So who are these neshamas? Tanya, Amar Reb Shimon HaChassid, Elu Chameis Va'aboy V'Shivim Va'abadurdus. These are the 974 generations, like we just said, that should have been created. Shekumtu Li'aboris, Kodim Shenivra Olam. They were, the Gzeira was made, and they were destined to be created before the world was created. V'Lo Nivru, but they weren't created because Hashem found that the world is not going to exist that long without the Torah. So Hashem went and planted them among all the generations. So in other words, you have some of them in every generation. Tosfos brings a gusa, the Tordon, which means that Hashem like pushed them away, like pushed them out of the picture. And Tosfos explains that the Tordon would mean the same kind of thing. Instead of all being created together, and such an neshamas would be too much for the world. Instead, Hashem pushed them aside and made that they're only created piecemeal, a little bit in every generation. So Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'shaslon v'tordon v'chol d'vader v'hein hein as a ponim shavader. They are the chutz b'dika people in every generation. Their neshamas come from that. So they are, as we're saying, the neshamas the toihu. And we find, for example, Moshe Rabbeinu, it says, was a neshama the toihu. And there are various neshamas, Lahavdil Esav, it says, was a neshama the toihu. And there are various people throughout all the generations who are like that. They have that intensity of toihu, and they come into our world. So that intensity of Olam HaToyu can come out in a negative way of being chutzpedik, of being azeponim. And of course, it can come like it did with Esav. And of course, it can come out in a positive way that such people, the azeponim, are the ones who get a lot accomplished. So therefore, they're divided up among all the generations. But meanwhile, the Gemara is saying, until they come into our world, then Nahar Dinur, this river from the sweat of the Chayas that represents Pachad and Yira of Hashem, is flowing down upon them. Marsha points out, by the way, for this purpose, when we say b'chol dur v'dur, he says usually, you know, a dur would be a significant amount of time. So where is there going to be room for 974 generations worth of people to be only a few of them in every dur? So he says actually for this purpose, maybe Hashem counts a dur as only 10 years. So therefore, so you have in 6,000 years of the world, you have room for 600 of those generations. He doesn't explain further, but I guess maybe the idea is that you'll still have some of them Limosa Mashiach, and you'll still have some of them La'asid Lava in the various stages like that, and therefore there's room for all of them to be created. So according to that explanation, the words Asher Kumtu V'loy Eis are meant in kind of a negative sense. These are neshamas that were not created and put into the world in the normal way. They're the ones who have to be put in a little here, a little there, in order that they don't destroy the world with their intensity of toil. But Rav Nachman Yitzchok Amar Asher Kumtu Livrachu D'chzid. Rav Nachman Yitzchok says actually that pasuk Asher Kumtu is meant in a positive sense. It refers to the Tamei Chachamim that mekamtin atzman. The word kemet usually means a crease or a wrinkle. So it can mean that they wrinkle themselves over the Torah, like they wrinkle their foreheads in order to understand the Torah when they're concentrating on the Torah and thinking on it thoroughly. It can also mean like they sit uncomfortably. We learned about in Moed Cotton, for example, that when David was learning Torah Ma'adin Atzmei Kedelas, he'd be like bent over in order to learn Torah. So it can mean that Tamei Chacham would bend themselves over, whatever the case. So Asher Kumtu refers to them that they mekamtin atzman al divrei Torah. They fold or wrinkle themselves over divrei Torah ba'olam hazeh in this world. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu Megala Lahem Soid La'olam Haba, Hashem will reveal to them the secrets of the Torah in Olam Haba. Shenemar, as the same passage continues, Noho Yutzak Yisoidam, a flowing river will be their foundation. So we're understanding the word Yisoidam as Soidam. Their secret will come from the flowing river of Torah. So in that case, then what's the Beloy Ace doing over there in the passage? The whole pasuk went Asher Kumtu Veloy Ace Noho Yutzak Yisoidam. So what's the Veloy Ace? So Marsha says in that case, according to this explanation that's talking about the Tamei Chachamim, then the Veloy Ace belongs to the second half of the pasuk. Asher Kumtu. These are people who wrinkled and folded themselves up and learnt Torah with tremendous energy and under uncomfortable conditions. So v'loy ace at a time that in a time that's not bound by time, meaning olam haba, which is not a physical place and therefore is not bound by physical time. No, yutzak yisoidim, then Hashem will give them the secrets that come from the flowing river. A different explanation is actually v'loy ace does belong to the first half of the pasuk. It means these tamar chachamim ashakum to v'loy ace. It's not just that they set up itim latorah, that they set up times during the day when they're learning Torah, and the rest of the time they're doing other things. These are people who spend every possible moment of theirs without even a schedule learning Torah. So therefore, they deserve that no yutzak yisoidim. Further, going back now to the Malachim, Omele Shmuel Chia Bar Rav. Shmuel one time said to Chia Bar Rav, so this is the son of Rav, Shmuel's chaver, and Rav had passed away several years before Shmuel. So Shmuel tells him, Bar Aryeh, son of a lion, meaning you, whose father Rav was such a tremendous Talmud Chacham. Ta Emalach Milsa Mehani Mili Maliyasa Dehava Amar Avor. Come, let me tell you something of the beautiful teachings in Torah that your father used to say. He said, Kol Yom V'Yom Nivroin Malachi Asharis Menahav Dinur. Every day, Malachi Asharis are created out of this Nahav Dinur, out of this river of fire. Amri Shira, and they say Shira to Hashem, Ubatli, and then they cease to exist because they've accomplished what they're there in the world for. Shanema, the pasuk is Chadoshim, Labakorim, Rabbi Menasecha. New every morning, meaning there are new malachim that are created every morning. Rabbi Menasecha, your faithfulness is great. So morning is when the malachim say Shira, and Marshar explains Rabba Emunasecha means this helps reinforce our great emunah that Hashem not only created the world once, but that over Tuvah Mechadish B'Choyim Tov and Ma'aseh Bereishis, when we consider that Hashem creates malachim every day. The Gemara says Upliga did Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmani. Now, though, that understanding of things disagrees with how Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmani learns it. So Amar Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmani, Amar Rav Yenison. It's not that malachim are formed every day from Nahav Dinur. They're formed from Hashem's speech. Every word that comes forth from Hashem's mouth, nivra mimenu malach achad, a malach is created from it. So therefore, they're created by the, so to speak, by the breath of Hashem's mouth, rather than from Nahav Dinur. Shenema, as the pasuk says, "Dvar Hashem Shemayim Nasu." As the pasuk says, "By the word of Hashem, the heavens were made." Over ruach piv called tzvam, and with the breath of his mouth, all of their hosts. So we're understanding that all of their hosts means all the malachim that populate Shemayim. So therefore, so in the simple sense, Marsha said "Tzvar Shemayim" means the stars and the planets. But since it says ruach piv, then we're meant to understand that it means ruchni yistika entities, namely these malachim. So Marshall explains he agrees they're created every day. He agrees from the Durasha with Chadash and Mabkarim. He just says instead of from Nahav Dinur, they're created from the breath of Hashem's speech. Okay, let's talk about another pasuk, another psukim that, so to speak, describe Hashem as he appeared to the various Nevi'im and talk about what they mean. One pasuk in Daniel says that he saw Hashem's clothing was snow white, and the hair of his head, this is parenthesis spelled slightly differently in the pasuk, but anyway, the hair of his head was like pure wool, like clean wool. So in other words, Daniel is describing Hashem kavyochol as having white hair. But then you have a different pasuk, Kutzot of Taltalim in Shir Hashirim. It says the locks of his hair are Taltalim, are locks that are curled, Shchoris Ka'orev, black like a raven. So there it's describing Hashem Kaviyachol as having black hair. So what is it, white or black? And the answer is, like Kasha, can be a Shiva, can be a Mochama. It depends whether we're talking about that Hashem is sitting to teach Torah versus and in wartime. As in fact we learn in a braisa, the best kind of person that you find in the yeshiva is an older person. He's the one who has the maturity to be able to learn Torah and explain it well. And the best one in war is a young man because he has the energy to fight. So therefore, Hashem Kaviyachol appears in different ways at different times, depending on the occasion. Which Rabbeinu Hananel points out. And the Rambam points out in Hilchos Yisod HaTorah, that's also meant for us to realize that Hashem ain't like Musa Guf, that Hashem has no human form, and therefore we can say, therefore different ones describing in different ways at different times in order to demonstrate, and all of it is one Hashem, of course, to demonstrate that Hashem just appears to the different Malachim in different ways depending on the occasion, but Hashem himself is beyond any such description. Next, here's another pasuk that we have. Here's another thing where we have a seeming contradiction between pesukim. This time, both of the pesukim are in Daniel. One pasuk in Daniel says that Hashem's throne is of flames of fire. So we see that it describes one throne. And another pasuk in the same perek says adi chorsav von remiv, that he's watching and seeing what's going on, where he sees over there the various animals that represent the four Malchias, Babel and Paras Madai and so forth. And then he sees Adi Chorsavan Ramiv until chairs in the plural are set up. The Atik Yomin Yisiv and the Ancient of Days, which means Hashem, sits on them. So what is it? Is there one throne or two? So the answer is like Kasha, Echad Loi v'Echad L'David. The answer is it means there's one throne for Hashem and a second throne for David to, so to speak, sit next to Hashem. Kedetanya, as in fact we learn in Ebraisa, Echad loy ve'echad l'David divrei Rabbi Akiva. That's what Rabbi Akiva says. It means when Hashem is judging the nations, we're talking about that Daniel is describing over here the judgment that Hashem is going to judge and punish, in particular, the fourth animal that he sees over there, which represents the Roman Empire, Hashem, and then all the other ones get judged and punished as well. So a few psukim later, it describes Mashiach coming, Va'arui Manan Ishmaya. But meanwhile, Rabbi Akiva is saying it means that even before that, even before Mashiach comes, when Hashem is judging this fourth beast, this fourth animal representing the Romans and punishing them, already then he has David sitting at his side to do that. Marsha actually explains a little bit differently that the diuk is not from the word chosav von, where chosav von means thrones in the plural. Rather, it's that the vav nun at the end means a small throne. So therefore, the understanding would be, says Marsha, there's a large throne for Hashem and a small throne for David. So that's divrei Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Yisagli says, Akiva, ad mosa ata oisa shchina chol, how can you talk about the shchina as a mundane thing, that you're talking about a human being, David HaMelech, sitting next to Hashem? Now you have actually a Gemara in Sanhedrin that says, we just learned in an Ein Yaakov, that says that when there was the war with the four kings, that Hashem sat Avraham next to his right side. So fine, Rabbi Yisagli maybe doesn't have a problem with that, because that was just a momentary thing that he needs it in order to be protected against the four kings. But here, that you should have on a long term basis that David should be sitting there, Rabbi Yisagli says it's not right. Ella echad b'din ve'echad b'tzedaka. Sorry, I skipped a line. Like Hasha echad loy ve'echad b'David k'detanya echad loy ve'echad b'David divrei Rabbi Akiva. As in fact, we have a braisa where Rabbi Akiva says just that the two thrones, or the big one and the small one, as Marashah says, are one for Hashem and one for David, divrei Rabbi Akiva. Omale Rabbi Yisagli, Akiva ad mosa ato isa shchina chol. But Rabbi Yisagli said to him, Akiva, how could you make the shchina be talking about like something mundane, a human being sitting next to him? Ela echad ladin ve echad tzedakah. Rather, the two thrones are one for judgment, one for gvura, and one for tzedakah. Meaning, in other words, Hashem is going to be judging these wild animals and punishing them, and then Hashem is going to be having rachmanus on the Jewish people. So therefore, you have two thrones over there, one for one and one for the other. So first, Hashem sits kavyochal on one and judges and punishes the nation, and then he sits on the other one, on the chair of tzedakah, on the throne of tzedakah, and does tzedakah for the Jewish people. The question is, Well, Rabbi Yosi Aglili had criticized what Rabbi Akiva had explained, that it means Echad Loi Ve'Echad L'David. Did Rabbi Akiva accept that explanation from Rabbi Yosi Aglili or not? So Toshma, we can prove that from another Braisa, which says Echad L'Din Ve'Echad L'Tzedakah Divrei Rabbi Akiva, where Rabbi Akiva says that one is for Din and one is for Tzedakah, showing that yes, he accepted Rabbi Yosi Aglili's opinion. But Amalei Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, but still Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah didn't like that, and he says Akiva Malach Etzel Agada. What are you doing dealing with Agada? That's not your strong point. Kloch mi dabri secha, go away from you speaking. Don't speak of agadah. It's not your strong point. Eitz on the goyim va'olos. You go and discuss topics in the goyim and olos, which are complicated areas in halacha. Those are things that you're expert in. In agadah. So stop speaking. He says, chadal midvarecha. Stop you speaking until you reach when we're going to be talking about in the goyim and olos. Then you have what to contribute over there. But to agadah, he's saying that they're not so much. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says a third explanation of why the two chairs, the two thrones, echad b'kiseh v'echad b'shrapra, one for the actual throne and one for the footstool. So kiseh leishav olav, the throne is for Hashem kavyachol to sit on, shrapra l'adoyim raglav, and the stool, which is lower, is meant for Hashem's feet, kavyachol. For a footstool. As we see, that Hashem's throne is described in those terms. So those are the two thrones that are being set up for Hashem's judgment of the nations. Okay. New topic. We talked about before in the sugya that when it comes, we're going to get back to Maisa Merkava later, but we talked about before that to teach somebody Maisa Merkava, they have to have certain qualities, which we quoted. We said he has to be Sar Hamishim or Nesufonim or Sisre Torah. We said in general, the secrets of the Torah, we said on Yud Gimel Amud Aleph, can only be given to somebody who has these five qualities. So now the Gemara is going to go through the psukim where those qualities are enumerated and explain something about those psukim. So ki osed of Dimi Omer, when Rav Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael, he said, Shmoina Esrei Klolos Kilu Yeshaya Eretz Yisrael. Yeshaya, as a nevuah from Hashem, cursed the Jewish people with 18 curses. V'loin iskarer adaitei, but he wasn't appeased. His mind wasn't set at ease. Until he continued in the pasuk at the end of that description, he says, "Yirhavu hanar v'zokin, the young are going to be chutzpitik against the elders, v'hanikla v'nichbar, and the lowly are going to be chutzpitik against the ones who should be honored." So that calmed him down. Now, why should that calm him down? First of all, what does it mean? Lo niskara daita. What did Yeshaya want to curse the Jewish people? Tamar Shon, a bunch of the other beforeshim explain each one in their own words that. What it is that particular thing that was saying that the young are going to disobey their elders and be chutzpahdik to them, and so forth. That is one of the signs of Yemos Mashiach, as described at the end of Sota. So once he said that particular statement, then he felt better. Oh, you know, so these klolos have an end. They're going to end with the coming of Mashiach. So therefore, that made him feel better. But up until that point, he's going on and on with Qualis, and he has no idea what the deadline for them is. So therefore, that's when he said that one, then that helped him feel better. A variant on that, some of the Mephoshim say, is it means that then the Jewish people are going to be very degraded by that. So therefore, that means that's the end of all the punishments. Anyway, so what are the 18 things? Shmona Esri Qualis Mayninu. So like this, Dichtiv, this Psukim in Yeshaya, Ki Hine Oden Hashem Tzvokas, behold the master Hashem Tzvokas, Mesir Yerushalayim from Yehuda, is going to remove from Yerushalayim and from Yehuda Mash'ein u'mash'eina, the support and the support. Mash'ein is Lashon Zachar, Mash'ein no is Lashon Nekeva. So it means any kind of support, but the Gemara is soon going to darshan phrase by phrase what each of these things mean. Kel Mishan Lechem v'chel Mishan Moyim, all the support of bread and all the support of water. So in Parshat Pshat, that means, in other words, there's going to be a terrible famine in Yerushalayim and in Yehuda, and there's not going to be any bread and water available anymore. But the Gemara is soon going to darshan what these phrases mean. The next pasuk continues that there's also going to be removed Gibber, the mighty men, the Ishmael Chama, and the warriors, the ones who are able to fight, Shofet, the judge, the Navi, the Kosem, and the magician. What do you mean, a magician? The magic is also Alpi Torah. We'll get to that soon. The Zokin and the elder. The next pasuk continues, Sar Chamishim, the captain over 50, Unasufanim, the one whose face is elevated, important people, the Yoyetz and the advisor, the Chacham Charoshim, the wise man of Charoshim, of secrets or of sorcery, Unavoin Lochash, and the one who knows how to understand whispered things. And the pasuk finishes off, Vinasati Na'orim Sarehem, I will make young men will be their princes, the Sa'alulim Yimshaluvam the Gomer, and Ta'alulim will rule over them. The Mefoshim on the Pasuk explain Ta'alulim in two different senses. It can mean Meloshin, it's Meloshin, the Shodesh of the word is Olal, Ayin Lamed Lamed, so that can mean babies, like Olal V'Yonik, so it can mean that babies, immature people, are going to be ruling over them. Or a number of the Mefoshim say there that's related to the word Olal, as in Asher Yitzalalti B'Mitzrayim, and other such psukim. That means it means leitzim. It means like people who think that everything is a joke and a plaything. Anyway, so those are the 18 klolos, and then again the last one is Benasati Na'orim Sare, and you finish it. The pasuk finishes off Yirav Wanar Bazokan Anok VaNikla BaNichbar, and we said that was the culmination of it, and then Yeshaya felt better knowing that that's the end of all of it. So let's go through those phrases and explain what they mean. Mash'ein Eva Bale Mikra. The word Mash'ein, a support, means the ones who are experts in Mikra, in Tanakh. Mash'eina, when it says Mash'eina in the feminine form, Eva Bale Mishnah, that refers to the people who are experts in Mishnah. So the Mishnah is like a Makabal, relevant to the Mishnah, is Makabal from Torah Shebachsav. Therefore, it's spoken of in the feminine form. Torah Shebachsav is the Mashfiah, therefore, it's in masculine form. So who are the Bali Mishnah? Rabbi Yehuda ben Tema, the Chaverach, for example, Rabbi Yehuda ben Tema and the other Chachamim of his generation who were experts inside and out of the Mishnah. So how much Mishnah was there? Plugubo, Rabbi Papa, Rabbanim. So Rabbi Papa and the other Chachamim argued how much there was in Mishnayis that Rabbi Yehuda ben Tema and his Chaverim knew. Chad Amas Sheish Meis Sidrei Mishnah, V'chad Amas Shvameis Sidrei Mishnah. One says there were 600 Sidorim of Mishnayis, the other one says there were 700. We talked about a few days ago that it doesn't necessarily mean, like nowadays we have 6 Sdorim of Mishnayos. It doesn't mean necessarily they had 100 times as much Mishnayos. There's not, you don't necessarily have enough basic halachas to make up 600 or 700 Sdorim. What it can mean is, in other words, there were different collections of Mishnayos and Braises at that time. You have the ones of Rav Meir that became the Mishnah that we have. You have each of the Chachamim had his own style of teaching and his own, and all of those constitute the 600 or 700 Sdorim of Mishnah, which in the earlier times they were thoroughly familiar with all of them. So now we're saying that Yeshaya is saying eventually that kind of expertise is going to disappear. Then when it continues, Kol Mishan Lechem, when it continues all of the support of bread, Eva Bale Talmud, that refers to the people who are experts in Talmud and Gemara, where therefore it's like you can rely on them to tell you the halacha as much as you can rely on bread, that you have bread to eat. And bread is the mainstay of a person's meal, and they're the same way as Gemara is the mainstay of what a person has to learn in Torah, because from it you learn what the halachas are. And we see that the Torah is compared to bread. Shenema, as the pasuk says, "Lachu lachmu v'lachmi, come eat from my bread, ushsub yain masachti, and drink from the wine that I poured." This is the Torah personified, talking to people, inviting them to come learn Torah. So we see the Torah is compared to bread. When it continues, v'chol mishan moyim, when it continues, any support of water, what's the water? So in general, Marashah says water is also a metaphor for Torah. Hoy called some elacholamayim. But we already went through Mikra and Mishnah and Gemara. So therefore, what's left? Eva Bale Agada. Therefore, we have to understand that water over here specifically means people who are experts in Agada. And it's called water. Shemoishkin libeshal adam b'mayim kamayim ba'agada. Because Agada is very fascinating and people are drawn to it like the way that people are drawn to water. So Yeshaya is saying that eventually the people who are experts in that are also going to disappear. The next pasuk continued, Gibber, the mighty men, means Zeb Bal Shmuas. That means the ones who know a lot of teachings in Torah that they heard from their rabbi. So like they know a lot of halachas and mishnayos and things that they learned from their rabbi. Hagoy Sabah brings actually a different girsa, that the Gibber over here is a misgaber b'yitzra, people who are able to overcome the yitzhara. Anyway, continues the Gemara. The Ish Milchama, when it says the man of war, means Zeshi Yedei Lisa V'Litin B'Milcham Tashal Torah, means the ones who know how to give and take in the war of Torah. Meaning, Maharsha says they may not be Baalei Shmuas, they may not have heard a lot of the underlying facts from their Rebbeim, but they're smart and they're able to be Maven Dover, Metech Dover. They're able to understand one thing from another, and therefore they're able to hold their own. In an argument over Torah, they're able to bring logical proofs for their positions. So that kind of thing is not going to be found. Next, Shoifet, when it says that the judge is going to disappear, means Zed Dayan Shadun Din Emes Lamita. It means the judges who judge din emes lamita, a true judgment for the truth's sake, which there are places in Shas where Tosfos explains. In other words, sometimes you have a dayan. Of course, you have corrupt dayanim. But even when you have a dayan who wants to judge honestly, sometimes, for example, you have a case in front of him where it seems that they're not giving him the full story, where the edim, or it seems that the edim are lying. You can tell from their body language or whatever. So a dayan who's done din emes but not lamita might say, okay, you know what? I'll cross examine them. If they get through cross examination and it turns out that it's a wrong verdict, it's not my fault. I did whatever I could. But a dayan who's done din emes lamita will go and try to ferret out the truth and use his sixth sense, use his fifth shulchan aruch to figure out what the actual truth is. So that's dayan who's done din emes lamita. So we're saying that's going to disappear. Navi kamashmoi, the word Navi means exactly what it sounds like. There's going to come a time when there's no more Naviim. Kosem, when it says the magician, Zemelech, that refers to the king. So there's not going to be a king anymore. Shenema, Kesem, Al-Sif Zemelech, as the Pasuk describes, a charm, like a magical spell on the lips of a king. In other words, when a king judges the people, it's like a magic spell. You know that's completely correct, just like you know that the magic spell is going to work. And that's one explanation that Marsha says. And the other one is also the other point is a king has to know about kishuf, because like all the members of the Sanhedrin, he has to be able to judge people who are accused of kishuf. So therefore, in that sense, he can be described as a koisim because he knows these things. Next, zaken zesheroi liyeshiva. The word zaken refers to somebody who's suitable to sit in the yeshiva. Like we said before, the best kind of person to have sitting in the yeshiva and teaching Torah is a zaken, is an old man. Sal chamishim, the next one, when it says a captain of 50, I'll take sal chamishim ela sal chumashim. Don't read chamishim 50, but chumashim meaning chumash. So this refers to a person who knows how to give and take in describing psukim from Chumash. So even that there's not going to be. Before we talk about a person who's expert in Mikra, meaning all 24 books of Tanakh, now we're saying there's not even going to be people who are experts in the five Chumashim. Dabar achar sar chamishim. Another explanation is we can leave the word chamishim as is to mean 50. Kid Rabba Bohu, and we would understand it the way Rabba Bohu understands it. Da'am Rabba Bohu mikan. From here we learn she'ein ma'amidin meturgman al tzibur pachas mechamishim shana. We do not set up a meturgman over the tzibur who is less than 50 years old. Which means Rashi says we don't mean the meturgman himself. There's no reason the meturgman has to be 50. It means that when we're setting up that a chacham is going to be using a maturgamon to darshan in public, which means, in other words, that he's a very high level rav or rosh hashiva, then he has to be 50 years old at least. So sar chamishim means you're not going to have such people. Next, unesufanim, when it continues, the one whose face is elevated. So that means zeshen noisin ponim ledore ba'avure lamayla. That refers to a tzaddik who he's so great that not only Hashem favors him, but Hashem favors the entire generation for his that the entire generation is favored and treated well for his sake. That's Nesuponim. And that means, well, Mila, we have people who that the whole generation is treated favorably by Hashem for the sake of the tzaddik. An example would be Kegon Reb Chanina ben Dosa, like Reb Chanina ben Dosa, where you have the Gemara that we learned in Tainis that says the whole world is sustained in the schus of Reb Chanina ben Dosa. So he's an example of an asup on him. Lamata, and then you have down here on earth where the human government respects and treats well the entire Jewish people for the sake of one Talmud Chacham, could go in Rabbi Bohu Beit Kesar, like Rabbi Bohu in the palace of the emperors, where they respected Rabbi Bohu tremendously. There's Gemaras in other places, in Ksubas and Sanhedrin, that says how when he came to visit, the women of the palace would come out over there and sing a song in his honor. So therefore, in his chus, they treated all the Jews well during his period. So that's an asuf on it. Next, Yoyetz. The next one in the Pasuk in Yeshaya was Yoyetz, an advisor. That means Shiyadev, Abashonim, Lekbayach Hadoshim. Means a person who has the expertise to know when an Ibur Yor has to be declared and when to be Kaveya the month, when it should be a 29-day month, when a 30-day month. That takes tremendous expertise, so that expertise is going to be lost. The Chacham, and when he continues, the next part of the Pasuk continues, Chacham Charoshim. And in the simple sense, we would understand that Chacham Charoshim is one phrase of two words. good. But here the Gemara is breaking them apart. The Chacham is a Talmud Amachim as Rabosev. A Chacham means a Talmud who makes his Rebbeim wise because he asks them good questions, and that makes them wiser, like Mutamida Yosem Kulam. And Choroshim, when it continues, Choroshim means the kind of Talmud Chacham, the Shosh B'Seach B'Divrei Torah, when he opens and starts speaking words of Torah, Hakol Nasim K'Choshim, then everybody becomes like Choshim, which we learned at the beginning of the Sechta, means mute, which one meaning of it is mute. In other words, they can't speak because he's saying everything that could be said, and they have nothing that they could slog him up with or anything. The Navon, again, the Pasuk said Navon Lochash, and again, the Gemara is separating the two and darshing them separately. The Navon Zam, Maven Dover Mitzvah Dover. A Navon refers to somebody who can understand one thing from another. So you tell him one thing and he can deduce something else from it. Lochash, where a whisper means Zer Sharoi Limsa the Divrei Torah, Shenit Nimba Lochash. It means that somebody who's worthy of being given over the Torah, which was given in whispering. So it can mean, in other words, on the side over here, it brings from the Aruch, that there's a Gemara that says that the Torah was given in secret so that the Satan shouldn't be Makatarig. So it means the whole Torah. There's also, it can mean specifically the parts of Torah that are given in a whisper, namely the secrets of Maisa Bereshis and Maisa Merkava that we've been talking about. Anyway, that's Lochash. So now, when the Pasuk continues, V'nasati Na'orim Sarehem, when the Pasuk says, I will make young men be their princes, so my V'nasati Na'orim Sarehem, what does that mean? What's wrong with young men? Sometimes young men have milus. Amar Rav Elazar, Eile B'nei Adam Sheminu Orin Min HaMitzvos. The word Na'orim over here is related to the word Ni'ur, which means shaken out. These are people who are empty and shaken out of mitzvahs. So they're going to be, at that point, they're going to be the leaders. And when it finishes off, the Ta'alulim Yimshaluvam, when it says Ta'alulim are going to rule over them, which we said, the simple meaning of Ta'alulim means babies, or it means Leitzim. So the Gemara Davshins, Amar Papa by Yaakov, or Acha by Yaakov, it says on the side, it Ta'ali b'nei Ta'ali, means foxes, the son of foxes. The word Ta'alulim, we're Davshining as like a double word Ta'ala, which is the Aramaic word for fox. So foxes represent low down people, like you have in Pirkei Avos, Rosh Lashualim, the head of the foxes. So foxes, the sons of foxes, meaning lowly people, the son of lowly people. So all of those are the 18 klolos that Yeshaya was saying to the Jewish people. And we said, but his mind was not set at ease, Ad Sha'om Alehem, until he tells them the final thing, you have one, and Na'ar Bazokin, Van Nikla Banichba, that the Na'ar are going to be chutzpidik against the elders, and the Nikla, the low down, are going to be chutzpidik against the honored ones. So what's, again, the Na'ar means, Eilu B'nei Adam Shemenu Orin Min HaMitzvos, the ones who are empty and shaken out of mitzvahs, you have who, they're going to be chutzpidik, Mishim, all the mitzvahs Kerimen, they're going to be chutzpidik against the ones who are as full of mitzvahs as a pomegranate. And what does it mean? The light ones, nikla literally comes from the word kal, which means light. So what does that mean? The word nikla means degraded, and the word nichbad means honored, but those are also related to the words kal and kovid, which means light and heavy. So yavei mi shachamuris doimus alav kalis, what's going to happen is those who treat the serious averus as if they're unimportant, as if they're like the less important ones, the kalis, the lighter mitzvahs, are going to come. But you have one, they're going to be chutzpidik, the mi shachamuris doimus alav kachamuris, against the people who the other way around, they treat even the lighter, the so to speak, less important mitzvahs as chamuris, as the serious ones. So in other words, it's going to be an upside down world where the people who are careless with mitzvahs, even the more serious mitzvahs are going to be making fun and chutzpidik against those to whom the mitzvahs are very heavy and weighty and important. So that's the final thing. But then, like it says in Soita, that this is one of the simonim, the ikvus in the Mashiach, chutzpah yaske, and then it shows that Mashiach is on his way. So we'll continue tomorrow, Bez Hashem. The Gemara is going to continue darshaning the following psukim over there in Yeshayah.